not like coming to church on Sunday morning and finding out you're preaching Sunday night. But I was ready. We'll be in the fifth chapter of Joshua tonight. Fifth chapter of Joshua. A lot of uncertainty in our world today. A lot of people scared. A lot of people's panicking. But I thank God that in 1984, early April of 1984, that I won my victory through Jesus Christ. And I thank God from that day now that I didn't have to worry about nothing, because I already know that the victory had been won. It had already been paid for, because I serve I got a big G God that I serve. Not a little G God, but we got a big G God that we serve. And he's got his hand on us. In Isaiah or Jeremiah 33:3. I was thinking about this verse while I was sitting over there. It said, "Call unto me, and call unto me, and I will hear you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And what we need now in our land is that. Everybody's turning back. I told Butch this morning that people I seen on Facebook last week cussing and making fun of everybody is quoting scripture this week. Maybe this will be the thing, because I think as a country and definitely as a church that we're standing on that threshold of revival. Are we going to go with the revival, or are we going to fight the revival? And I think that here in our text tonight when I read it that Joshua was faced with that same decision. We're in the fifth chapter of Joshua, but a lot of things have happened in the first five chapters of Joshua. There's been a lot of things happen. Moses died. God instilled Joshua to lead the children of Israel into Canaan. And if I'm wrong on this, I'll apologize, but through my study, I found that over there in the second chapter of Joshua, we got the first Gentile conversion in the way of Rahab the harlot. And that's the way God works. God works that way. He could have picked anybody in the world to convert, but he reached down there low and he found the harlot, and he converted her with a piece of scarlet thread. If you read that story in chapter 2, that she hung that scarlet thread and she got everybody in her house. And through all this, we find that God was with Joshua. It's good to know tonight that we serve a God that once we accept him and all of our sins are under the blood of Jesus, that he's always with us. He promised us that in scripture. The Jordan was parted. And the children of Israel walked across into Canaan on dry ground. We find that when they parted the Red Sea, Joshua came across with them. And everybody knows the story of the Battle of Amalek. When Moses had his hands up, they won. And when Moses' hands fell, Amalek would prevail. And what it was Aaron and who?
Joseph. Aaron and Joseph.
And then Aaron and Joseph held his hands up, and the children of Israel prevailed. And through all the first five chapters, we find that God just kept building Joshua up in the eyes of the children of Israel. Well, and if you study the children of Israel today, I think I told Butch this too, that I feel like that we got an Aaron standing somewhere in our country that's waiting for that golden calf to come out of the fire. Now, when we look at our text, when I read it, that Joshua's getting ready to go into Jericho. And this was probably the greatest battle that Joshua was gonna fight to this point. May have been the greatest battle that Joshua ever fought. Because Jericho was all shut up, all locked up. They were afraid of the children of Israel. Maybe the children of Israel was worried about what was going to happen there. So then when the Holy Ghost gave me this text, I had this thought. Look who's in the fight with you. And we're going to pick up in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight, God, Lord, we thank you for your word, God. And we thank you for the chance to come into your house and worship you, God, in this time of uncertainty, God, that we can still come and break your word, Father. And Lord, that I ask that the Holy Ghost walk these aisles, Father, and convict our hearts and convict our ears and open our eyes, Father, Lord, to know that the victory has already been paid for us, God. And we promise to always give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's no time to play games. There's no time to waste. The end is near. The battle is now. Jesus said the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Right now, we're standing on that threshold. And I think that throughout all this whole thing that's going on, this big mess we got, that God will get his glory out of this somewhere. This could be the one thing, I'm no prophet, but this could be the one thing that makes the world, or at least our country, turn back to God. Because the Bible said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. We need to put on our full armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The enemy is always trying to come against us. Satan loves everything that's going on in our country today, because Satan can throw that wrench in there, and a lot of churches have closed. I've seen numbers that said, I think 1,200 or 1,500 churches a year close. Preachers walking away from the pulpit. That's what Satan does. He just works his way. All he has to do is get in there, and he kicks that crack wide open. So we need to work together for the common goal of Matthew 28:20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I see Joshua here as he's a man's man. Big, I see him as a big man. Always ready to battle. Battle hardened. This is what we need to be. We always need to be ready to fight that battle. Because how long are Christians going to lay down and let them just keep aborting babies? Let homosexuals marry. How long are we going to lay down and take that? We let them take enough away from us. Now they're trying to tell us what we can preach from the pulpit, who we can marry, and just what we can say to people if we're out door to door. And by the way, an interesting fact I found when I was studying this was that West Point and other military academies still study Joshua's battlefield plans and tactics. They still study all the maps of that back then. And in our text, we see that Joshua sees a man. It's said over from him. And he went over to convey the situation with him. I could see Joshua walking over there. Somebody I don't really know. Say, hey, Jack, you for us or are you for them? Many times in ministry, you got to ask yourself the same question. You got to ask if people are for you or for your adversary. Because sometimes you get going and everything looks like it's going right. But then it seems like people's fighting you every step of the way, everything you want to try to accomplish. The importance right now in the church is to have new converts, people that we can disciple, and they can help with the next generation, and then they can take it to the battle, and then we can take it to the battle. We need to build our church up, pray for our pastors, pray for our church leaders, build them up with prayer, pray a hedge of protection around them. We had a very confusing answer here, though, because he said nay. Nay what? Nay you're for us? Or nay you're not for them? But God is not the author of confusion. There's never been a confusing time when it came to God. There's been times in my life I didn't understand what I was going through. Probably much like Joshua right here. I mean, and I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that every time, every person that gets saved, that it's all going to be a bed of roses. I mean, we look at Joseph when he got cast into the pit. He probably thought God wasn't ever going to fool with him again. And then we see how he got took out of the pit, and then he was at Potiphar's house, and then we see the Jezebel wife of Potiphar, that she falsely accused him, and then he got cast into the prison. Everybody knows that story. I thought about the three Hebrew boys when they got cast into that fiery furnace, and they probably thought God wasn't ever going to mess with them. And, you know, I've heard writers say that that was an angel. That was no angel that Nebuchadnezzar seen. He said he looked like the Son of God, and they had the Son of God there. That's why the three Hebrew boys was loose and walking in the fire, and they wasn't trying to get out because they wanted to be in there with Jesus. They didn't care what was going on outside. And then we find here that Joshua had, when he said he was the captain of the host of the Lord, he said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And I looked, as I studied this, I read in a few commentaries, and even Thompson said that that was an angel. But I don't believe that was an angel. Because I read back there in Hebrews where it says that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. Joshua knew who it was. That's why he worshiped. And right here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed here. Because Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'd be with us always. Jesus is in the fight with us. It don't matter what the devil would ever bring against us. Because the devil only has some power. But God has all power. The devil don't even own the keys to his own house. And as I studied this, I studied that ground over there around Jericho. And it's rocky. It's rough rocks, jagged rocks. And when Joshua took his foot off, or took his shoe off, he said that, I say that that ground was like walking on soft beach sand where it was holy. And that reminded me of Moses up there on the backside of the desert when he took his shoes off because he was on holy ground at the burning bush. Because anywhere there's holy ground, it's good ground to walk on, I can tell you that. I got a little fast right there, I'm sorry. I got about 3 points ahead of where I was supposed to be. So. Joshua knew that the Lord was with him and he had no fear. Reminds me of David when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff had comforted me. And then if you read on down in chapter 6 here, he gives him the battle plan. It says, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city. Once thus shalt do this, thou shalt thou do 6 days. I could see Joshua standing there saying, really? That's it? I got bloodthirsty, battle-hardened warriors sitting there. They going to kill me if I tell them to go out there and walk around that city once a day for 6 days. But right here's the part that I like. And it shall come to pass that when they, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all ye people shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Do we not have a lot of Jerichos in this world today? Places where they won't even let us in. They slam the door in your face. Brother Barry told everybody about that guy we had. Brother Cody's told me a guy pulled a shotgun on him one time. And so I said, I ain't never going out on door-to-door visitation with Cody. But we have a lot of Jerichos today. I mean, the only thing we got is we still serve the same big letter G God that made those walls lay down flat. And you find in that story, if you read on, that Rahab and everybody that she had in her house was saved because of that piece of scarlet thread. That reminds me of when they were still in bondage and they painted the red over the doors and the angel passed on by them at the death of the firstborn. But if our big letter G God can make them walls of Jericho fall, just imagine what he can move out of our way. I just wanted to say that I enjoyed this morning when D got up there in Amen Corner. Amen Corner is something that hardly no church ever uses anymore. I can remember when I was a kid, my grandma would get in there doing whatever she was doing, and you'd hear her in there talking to Jesus. And my grandpa, he'd be in there talking to Jesus. And I mean, they were people that when my grandma and grandpa prayed, they had to be shaking the throne of heaven up there, man, because God knew they wanted something when they would pray, you know, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And then they'd get at church, you know, and they'd preach, I mean, hard preaching back then. And they couldn't wait to get up over there in Amen Corner, and they'd shout and they'd just tell everybody that how much Jesus had blessed them that week and the time they'd spent with Jesus and how great he was and all the blessings in their lives. And they do it. Them women would shout till them bobby pins fell out of their hair. I remember it. But we don't use Amen Corner no more. And I know everybody worships in their own way. But imagine being there that day when Joshua told them to do that and they did it. And them walls fell down flat. Imagine what he can move out of our way if we would only fully trust in him. I know a lot of Christians today that they say they trust in him, but they only trust in him when it's good. I know a lot of Christians today that takes parts of the Bible and that's what they live by, and the rest of it can fall by the wayside. You can't take the parts that you want and do away with the parts that you don't want. Because there's coming a day that they talk about in 1 Thessalonians that for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be called up in the air to be with the Lord, and we shall forever be with the Lord. I hear a lot of Christians say that they're listening for a trumpet. I ain't listening for a trumpet. I'm listening for a shout. I don't know what it'll sound like, but it's going to wake the dead, I can tell you that. So I ask that us as a church, that we pray for revival. We ask God to pour his spirit out on us. Give us a breath from another world. But you can't have revival. Every good, great revival has always been prayed in. You cannot have a great revival unless you have good prayer warriors that's just going to shake the throne of heaven about revival for our church. Don't only pray for revival for our church. Let's pray for revival for Fairfield, for our state, for our country, for the world. I've seen reports out of Africa where they're just breaking numbers with people being baptized. But I say that's the way it was this day. Because we all know how the children of Israel were. They always turned their back on God. Always went and worshiped the other little g gods. People ask me what I think. I don't watch the news. I don't look at the news. And everybody always asks me what I think. And I tell them the same thing. I just stick with the book. Butch, what do you say about that?
Amen.
I mean, I think I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. I got done a little early, but I would just ask that when the musicians come and Butch comes, that we as a church come and get in the altar and pray for all the uncertainty, all the doubt. We don't have to panic as children of God, because Jesus gave us that victory on Calvary. So I would just ask that everybody would use your chair as an altar if you have to. But let's just rattle the throne of heaven. Let him know that we're seeking his face tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I think everybody here by profession is saved. But is there anybody here, just lift your hand up if you think that you're not, things aren't just right with you and God. I see that hand. If there's anybody here tonight that's not saved, I invite you to get saved. I don't know what you're waiting on. I mean, so. But I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Wasn't as long as I wanted it to be, God, but it was as long as you wanted it to be, and that's what's important. And Father, we thank you for this, God, and we thank you for open worship, God. Lord, those that raise their hands, God, that, Father, just, I wish they would get it right, Father, God. We have that assurance, God, that we have victory through you, through your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Lord, you said you didn't come to take life, but you came to give us life, give it more abundantly. Just let us all realize that, God, and let us all come together in one accord, Father, for all of our problems. Anything that might be bothering us, God, and we promise to always give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.